Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico, and joining me is...
Scotty Hertz, and if I seem a little off my game, I'm going to say this early. I got blown out of bed by an Amber Alert this morning and have never fully recovered, so...
And then you called 911 to complain about it.
Of course, at least 8 times. No, I didn't actually do that. I'm pro-Amber Alert, but that's my own fault for not figuring out how to shut it off on the phone, but... Anyway, maybe that's a topic for another day.
Maybe.
Or today, if I fall asleep while somebody's talking.
it's not you, it's me. All right.
Open Sources is CFRU's political and current affairs discussion show, and you can find us here every Thursday at 5 p.m. as we talk the latest news items from Guelph, Ontario, Canada, and around the world. And sometimes we interview local newsmakers and politicians. This week, though, we will be talking about just the news, and that includes Unplanned. It's a movie about a Planned Parenthood volunteer who becomes an anti-abortion activist. But is it worth the trouble of protesting? And then we will focus on the U.S.-Mexico border crisis, which seems to be just getting worse and worse. And there seems to be nothing anyone can do about it. And we'll talk about the latest terribleness from that border. And then finally, what about our own immigration policies? Canadians seem to be not so friendly to immigrants these days, if a new CBC poll is to be believed. So are we wrong on immigration? But first, if you have ever said a bad word about pipelines in the last 10 years, CSIS might have your name on a list somewhere.
Oh, boy.
Because there was a report, the BC Civil Liberties Association petitioned for the release of these documents from a civilian review of CSIS and allegations that CSIS was taking tips from energy and oil companies about peaceful protesters who may turn violent. CSIS said this is in the course of their regular activities, that they were looking for genuine threats of violence against pipelines. That's a kind of vague definition of what they might have been looking for. Mm-hmm. But it seems like a lot of people's names might have ended up on a computer somewhere. And then we get this 8,000-page document that has been made public and heavily redacted. And it just seems to have led to more questions than answers.
I did see a bit of the press conference where somebody was waving the sheets around. And I mean, that's a lot of toner ink to have a physical sheet, which, of course, people can relate to. You can't actually... Well, hold up your phone and go, look at this. It's all black.
Yeah.
Lots of black ink. I hope they didn't print all 8,000 pages like that because, yes, indeed, heavily redacted. But I briefly had a look at some of it because, as you said, it's just, you know, here and there, pieces of info. And from what I saw just randomly looking at it, if you think of a Canadian protesty group you can name off the top of your head, mine was Council of Canadians, and sure enough, it was there. Tides Canada was one. You know, anyone you can just say, oh, there's this group that protests, both, you know, mainstream like Council of Canadians, very mainstream group, or fringe, their names seem to appear. And I went right for the middle. It was like 18 volumes or something. I just aimed for the middle just to see what it looked like. CSIS were saying that this is the kind of stuff what did they call it? Incidental info? It's information that they gather, but they really don't have... They made it sound, or were trying to make it sound like they didn't really have plans for it. It's like, well, we need to log it, but we're not necessarily going to do anything. And of course, the problem with this, and we have had a local example lately of somebody like local activist Matt Soltis, who has been on this station, actually had a show. Mm-hmm. People in town know Matt. And he ended up on not the no-fly list, what they call it, the Tuscan list, tip-off U.S.-Canada.
Yeah.
He's never, he had some minor graffiti charges or something, but nothing that would qualify as terror. And yet somehow, and he says he doesn't know how he ended up on this list, but this kind of shenanigans, I guess, is going on with CSIS is exactly the way that somebody who has no idea or may not have any idea ends up on a list like that.
But Matt Soltis was like the spokesperson for the group that took the Hanlon Creek Business Park land and sort of held that hostage for a couple of weeks back in August 2009.
Right, but out of that, they were never charged with anything, though, right?
No, they weren't charged criminally, but there was a slap suit against him and four of the other people who organized that protest.
Right.
which
but never went to jail for it.
Never went to jail, and it was eventually dropped.
Some people got upset because a bus was yelled at. That's what
right.
Happened,
and there was a thing where stuff was thrown at a bus where the mayor and the city councilors were on and went down to the site to break ground. But that was like a separate incident from the, let's call it the sit-in on the site.
Yeah.
But that's where it makes you wonder, like, how does your name get on this? And what happens once your name is on it? Because all Matt Solstice did was occupy a piece of land in protest.
And then it ended after
a week and a half or a week. And then, you know, the legal machinations of what the council and the city did at the time, there was no criminal charges.
No.
But could you believably think that someone who occupied a piece of land to stop the construction of a business park and the paving over of natural wilderness, could that person believably be labeled a terrorist? Especially when people we call environmental terrorists don't actually kill people. Like, maybe they burn down a car lot, or maybe they sabotage a construction facility, but like, rarely, if ever, is anyone hurt.
The corporations are afraid.
Right.
They're scared.
Right.
That something's going to happen to the bottom line. So therein lies the problem. But, and you know, it's, no one likes a rat, but yet somehow they're able to. I sure hope there is an unredacted version of the, as what they're calling the protest papers released, because it would be really, I don't know if I could, you'd hope that somebody would peel through it, but because it looks like there's a lot to work through to see what's actually behind the redactions. I don't think it'll ever happen, because like it says top secret security. So it's, you know, we're never going to see behind it. At least I don't think so.
It's still, there's still an ickiness to this because.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was also the allegations that the RCMP was putting people inside groups who were planning on protesting the G20 in Toronto in 2010. And sort of
that's a given. That definitely happened.
And sort of egging them on and like trying to get them to take more direct action. So like, yeah, why don't we go and like vandalize Bay Street? Why not? You know, a real kind of sense of entrapment. So it doesn't even necessarily, like, you could look at this and go, yeah, they took down names, and yeah, they just have to have a record of it and log it in case, you know, it turns out, you know, somebody escalates or what have you. But we do have a recent history in this country of law enforcement, not just taking sort of defensive postures. Like, you can understand if, I mean, it's still icky, but, you know, if you're the RCMP and maybe you're concerned about people starting crap at the G20, and you know, there's a group meeting, like having somebody go into the back and just standing there and, you know, listening to the rhetoric, just to do like sort of a threat analysis.
Mm-hmm.
But these people were inside and actually kind of instigating, and like they were known, you know, they were part of the gang, as it were. And you know, could something like this happen here? Because you know, all they have to do is kind of know who you are.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so easy in this day and age, because I don't think a lot of this is just the physical clandestine behind the scenes stuff. A lot of it is probably online. So, of course, any remotely public group or group that you could easily be added to that's designed to protest, whether it's, you know, people just, you know, chatting about the Northern Gateway, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
You just need one, not even one. A lot of them you can look at without even needing to be part of the group, and then they take names, right? Like it's that simple. And I'm sure a lot of what's under the redactions is probably stuff like that. There's a Facebook group and they're like, you know, pick the name, whatever they call it. Not even just Stop Northern Gateway, which would be the simple one, but
right.
Anything that's going to affect them at all, they will definitely have people monitoring it. As I always tell people this about, you know, just don't completely let loose online with the wild stuff. We've known that for years, but now it's just way too simple for somebody to go, you know, it's, you know, rat line extraordinaire stuff.
Well, it's not
even though you're putting it out there and it is your opinion, you're allowed to have your opinions,
yeah.
But, you know, there is a limit to it if you don't want to end up in the CSIS files.
Well, there's, it's not just a matter of sort of being careful what you say. and who, where you say it, it's also a matter of, you know, if you're someone who's concerned about pipelines, if you're someone who's concerned about the extraction industry and the effects on climate change, are you going to be more inclined to sign up for these groups? Are you going to go to meetings? If you're someone who doesn't want your name on a CSIS computer somewhere, there's definitely going to be a chilling effect because, you know, people want to get involved, but they don't want trouble. And if they're just sort of like scooping up all this information, you know, all it takes is somebody saying, oh, you know, Betty Blunderson down there
from the Council of Canadians.
We got a letter from her. She said she's from the Council of Canadians and that she's like going to take real serious action about our pipelines plans. What does serious action mean? I don't know. I'm
strongly worded letter.
I monitor threats, so I'm going to put this on my computer now. Here's the PDF. Maybe Betty Blunderson's going to start some stuff. I don't know.
But that's what stings about it, that it's so ratty. It's like, you know what? You should look at these people because they said this about us.
Right.
Like, is it not CSIS's job to find out that information without, you know, company X telling them what to do? But it wasn't just CSIS directly. What's the name of the committee? The Security Intelligence Review Service hearings.
Yeah.
They are the body that's the oversight of CSIS. So this isn't, well, I guess it's self-policing, right?
It's a civilian board that oversees.
Supposed to be, but.
But I mean, who can say, right?
Is it hands off?
It was said that the information wasn't a two-way street. CSIS wasn't telling oil executives that they had people under surveillance. But there's never a scene in a James Bond movie where somebody comes up and goes, hey, James Bond, you know who might be starting some trouble? You know, you're right. I mean,
Blofeld?
Right. You know.
No, not Blofeld again.
Hey, James Bond, check out Joe Anderson. He doesn't think a pipeline should be built there.
He's in the Council of Canadians, yeah.
So yeah, it's.
Sorry to pick on Council of Canadians. Like, I just said that was the first name I saw, but
right.
I mean, you name
but,
it.
But I mean, that's like the most obvious thing because the Council of Canadians is so ubiquitous. They have a lot of big names attached to the Council
of
Canadians.
And lots of members.
And they have the world's crappiest website, too. No disrespect to Council of Canadians, but still. It's not 1999 anymore.
Isn't people hanging out in the sewers with AKs ready to like take over the.
Yellow vests are technically sophisticated than Council of Canadians, but.
Anyway.
But
I won't say anything in case I end up on a list somewhere.
Right.
I don't mind being on the CSIS list. I just don't want to be the Yellow Vest list.
Right.
I probably already am, though.
It smells bad. It smells like, this is one of those things that like makes people go, oh, the fix is in, the cat's in the bag, the cat's out of the bag. It confirms some of the worst instincts people have, and it doesn't matter that a civilian oversight panel has found that CSIS wasn't doing anything wrong. It doesn't matter that, you know, CSIS wrote down a name and you know, maybe looked into and decided that person wasn't a threat. The point is that they were looking at people who were exercising their democratic right to protest, and sort of taking the judgment of oil company people as, you know, as a legitimate tip versus as, you know, just keeping it to like actual threats to Canadian interests and infrastructure, which isn't just any threat to a pipeline.
And that would, to me, that would be the really interesting thing, is to follow that trail and say, okay, who was doing the, you know, is it the communications people for the companies? Is it, you know, the president of the companies? Like, you look at these damn hippies and these indigenous people give me all kinds of grief. Go look at them. Yeah. It's probably closer to the truth, but we don't know the truth yet, but hopefully we will when everything, I mean, I said everything's going to be redacted. It probably won't, but hoping for a leak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your leakers, leak something.
Yeah. Please leak.
Yeah. And now I'm on the list for saying that.
Well, if there's a list you probably don't want to be on, it's the guest list for Unplanned.
Sorry.
It's a movie
opening
in 24 theaters across the country.
Ooh, big opening.
For 1 week. If you're interested in our area, the closest one is the Landmark Cinema in Kitchener, which is the Sports World Drive.
Ooh, let's get a bus.
So it's like literally 20 minutes away. If
you're going to do it on end credits or no?
No.
I It is. It would be funny.
It is.
It's like the ultimate crossover with this show. It's like
it is also playing at the Varsity, which is in downtown Toronto. So that's like sort of prime movie going real estate.
Varsity will show anything though, right?
Well, anything art house.
Yeah. This qualifies art house.
So. Some kind unplanned?
Of, some kind
unplanned
of
unplanned is not art. Okay.
It's boutique. I don't know if it's art.
It's
house.
Boutique.
Rated
it's
R.
It's being released by, it's 14A in Ontario.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Did they do some editing or something? Because I thought it was
no,
R.
It's just we're looser with stuff than the United States.
We let
is.
A lot more go.
So it was made for $6 million by a company called Pure Flix. And if you haven't heard of them,
I'll
they are
again,
a Christian film company based in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hmm. They have made, amongst other things, the God's Not Dead series of films, Do You Believe? I'm Not Ashamed, and The Case for Christ. As I said, it's made for $6 million. It stars no one you've ever heard of. And it made $18 million in its original theatrical run in the United States in April. To put that into perspective, Spider-Man Far From Home made $15 million on Tuesday alone. So, obviously, we need to shut this down.
Shut her down, man. Yeah, and this is one of those ones, like, I'm not going to say I completely agree with Ellis Jacob about what he was saying about the, what did he say? It was like, we need to embrace differences. It's freedom of expression. He's playing the freedom of expression.
The CEO of Cineplex, by the way.
Yes, sorry, the CEO of Cineplex. Just assuming everybody knows that. Right? But he also says something like, well, the appropriateness of this falls to the provincial and the territorial governments. It's like, okay, pass the buck, why don't you? But I also feel, obviously, that people should have the right, and they probably will protest this. I have no doubt now. And this, it's the kind of thing where it may have just very quietly played, but I think a lot of this is also, they're playing the protesters as well by saying, oh, you know, there's going to be, what was the report? Was it Lethbridge? We're going to get extra security and there's going to be protesters. It's Lethbridge, Alberta. Like,
right.
We're
assuming
three people there going, oh, this film, we're getting security and we're going to have to shut it down. It's like, you're doing this straw man argument of this film you haven't even shown yet.
The security they're bringing in will increase the population of Lethbridge by 3%.
Probably. You can get rid of the oil sands or something, too.
Right.
The guys that were riding
but
to CSIS are going to come
protect. I feel that's
protect.
The point of this. The controversy is kind of like a perpetual motion machine meant to sort of get advertising for the movie because, again, it's only going to be in the theater for a week. They could only get a run for 1 week.
That's like a bookshelf. Well, a bookshelf isn't going to show it, obviously.
But. No, but, you know, 24 theaters for 1 week, and look how much ink and how much press has got. And at the same time, it gets nothing down to the real problem of this country when it comes to abortion, which is access, access, access.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Brad Trost really likes this movie and wants you to go see it, I don't give a damn because I'm not going to take movie advice from Brad Trost because I guarantee you his taste probably sucks.
Brad Trost is a moron in my opinion, so yeah, I would avoid...
You know, he...
No, seriously. Like, really, I don't know. Like, it's one of those writings where they could just run, you know...
A scarecrow.
A doll or a mannequin and it would win, so...
Yes.
But anyway, that's a different world, but I don't know, where is he? Is he in Lethbridge? He'll be there, right?
I don't know if he'll be in Lethbridge, but I mean, he was one of four, I think, conservative MPs who were showing the movie.
So we already got to see it.
Yeah, so there
time.
Weren't, there weren't like press screenings, like sometimes how this works is they'll have a press screening.
Because no one would go.
Probably, but film critics will go to anything, right? If I had been invited to a press screening, I probably would have went. But,
ooh.
Just, you know, because, you know, if you're invited, you go. It's fine. The problem is, I feel that this is kind of like the reverse problem. People remember this. There was this little Canadian film about 10 years ago called Young People Blanking.
Oh,
I'll let
yeah.
you fill in
is
the blank.
Sookie and Lee was in that, right? Or no?
You're thinking about Short Bus.
Okay, see? The authority has spoken.
Short...
It young involved... shenanigans.
Short Bus makes Young People Blanking look like
soft?
16 Candles.
Super soft. Oh, okay. Right. Where do we draw the line?
Short Bus is explicit. I still enjoyed Short Bus, but it goes a little bit further than Young People Blanking. But there was a controversy because there was a bill in the House that, you know, allowed them to take tax credits from stuff they it was deemed inappropriate.
And so this was Harper time, right?
This was Harper time.
Yep.
This was Harper
Stop.
Prime time.
Harper time. We're going to police everything, even though we're all about freedom of expression, but not for this, or this.
Right. And so like the filmmakers invited everyone in the House of Commons to a screening. No conservatives went. A conservative staffer bought a ticket to go, ended up being fired because of it. So, you know.
Oh, you're expressing yourself. Freedom to watch whatever you want. You're
right. Exactly.
It's not the right tone. Sorry.
I mean, I would not purposely go out and buy a ticket to see Unplanned. I think, like...
But if one landed in his lap, wink, yeah.
Like, if somebody gave me a pass and I was, like, doing it for, like, the purposes of, like, reviewing it for this or something, you know, yeah, it's fine.
Let's go. You know, that's, like, not a dare, but let's go.
Let's
go. Field trip. Let's go.
Not a dare.
Let's go. We'll do a report on what we saw. It's...
But, I mean, it's a $6 million movie. Fronted with like the guy, the MyPillow guy actually funded it, Mike Lindell.
I'm sorry to say I don't know what MyPillow is. Is it a Christian thing?
No, it's just it's a pillow thing. It's like this special pillow. I'm only familiar with the commercial. I have no idea how that pillow is better than other pillows.
I guess
pillows.
I'm supposed to Google it rather than ask you on the air. But MyPillow.
But I mean, it's the MyPillow guy who, of course, is a huge Trump fan.
My Trump pillow.
And it's from the same studio. Like, I'm going to read you some of the names of some of the people who have been in other PureFlix films. Mm. Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, yes.
Dean Cain.
I know Kevin Sorbo, Andromeda, but what?
Lois and Clark.
Lois and Clark. Okay.
Melissa Joan Hart.
Yes.
The late, great Fred Dalton Thompson.
Oh.
Who was great in Die Hard 2, I will say. Mm. But
so it's the B role. Actually,
Jesse Metcalf. Do you know Jesse Metcalf?
No.
Okay. Mike Vogel. Do you know Mike Vogel?
No. Am I supposed to?
Mike Vogel.
If I dwell in the realm of bad TV and shows.
Mike Vogel he was the best friend in Cloverfield, the first Cloverfield.
So there's no A-listers in this scene, is there?
Yeah, well, I'm actually, Faye Dunaway and Robert Forster were in The Case for Christ.
Oh.
So, I mean.
Were they trying to sort of kick it up a notch? And
I can't imagine.
Faye Dunaway an Oscar winner?
Yes, Faye Dunaway has won Oscars, or a Oscar.
Bonnie and Network. Clyde, maybe? Oh, Network. Go see Network, people. Don't worry about Unplanned.
But
Rated R. No, not Rated R.
But it just keeps coming back to me. We keep, you know, getting stuck in these. Like, it's the same thing when we had the whole thing about the Garden of Grace up the hill, which you haven't heard a lot about lately, have you? Because it doesn't
matter. A lot of people sleeping in it, so it's serving that purpose that, you know, there's certain comfort there now.
Fair enough, but...
They should just make it a homeless.
But, you know,
place.
You've talked about this too, about seeing the people who are like doing the 40 days of protest outside the hospital where they will not give you an abortion. You can't walk into the hospital and get an abortion. If you have, if you're in a medical emergency and you need like an abortion, like to literally save your life, yes, they will give you one, but you can't walk into anywhere in Guelph and access abortion. So you can't walk in anywhere in the Waterloo region, Wellington County area to get an abortion.
Like I said last time, you should really be able to.
You should be able to.
But
like...
Let's manufacture a crisis to give this turkey some attention that it wouldn't otherwise get, right? Now,
we're giving it attention, but...
Yes, but in a sort of, in a slightly different way. But you were saying about people who are excited about this film. Faith Goldie's very excited about Friday's premiere. Oh, so that'll give you some idea about... You know, zero or
Faith
negative
Goldie,
stars.
Who's someone else I would not take advice
about. But interestingly, I saw a bit of not a review, but they're talking about it in the Toronto Sun of all papers. And I don't read that often. Rita's, she's been in the paper a long time. Slammed it completely. Like, she's what is this? What are you doing? And I was surprised at that, actually. But I don't know. I guess people in the Sun, like anything, have editorial freedom to a degree, I suppose.
Well,
really ripped them a new one. They're like, you know what? This is just garbage. And picked it apart completely. But where isn't it playing significant? Quebec. I was surprised. No theaters in Quebec are showing it. But the majority are in Ontario. I guess we're a big problem, the biggest.
Ontario
Six
and Atlantic
theaters?
Canada.
Atlantic Canada and somewhere up north. And like I said about speaking of Lethbridge, I looked at the list of the rest of the films playing there, which in the top was John Wick 3. So
that's a good movie to watch.
Yeah, but this isn't exactly like the wholesome zone. This isn't like, you know, When Calls the Heart movie land or whatever. Was it PureFlix?
I guarantee you John Wick's killed more people than
in probably
Planned Parenthood's committed
5 seconds.
Abortions.
Yeah. But of course, there's some talk that the whole Abby Johnson's story itself is a bit kind of can't really square it.
Yeah.
Planned Parenthood she worked for said, no, you know what? Our records indicate. I don't know if they've made them public, but they're they'll say, well, those are forged, they're fake news or something.
Yeah, that her recollections are conflict. And the recollections in her memoir, which the movie is based, conflict with accounts at the time. Like, there's a scene in the movie where she's sort of observing an abortion of a black woman is aborting her fetus, and this is like sort of her turning point, and it turns out that there was like one black patient during that whole period at the Planned Parenthood she worked at, and it was like when she was on vacation or something. So that sort of flubs the facts.
Creative license.
And you know, I read the plot synopsis, like the plot breakdown on Wikipedia, and apparently like there's a scene where Planned Parenthood is like full Dr. Evil, and it's like, yes, we must have more abortions so we can make more profits. And it's like,
and then the evil laugh.
Like, did the screenwriters do any research at all, like going into a Planned Parenthood to like maybe see what it's like in there? I mean, I know they didn't, but at the same time, like, does Planned Parenthood really operate like the car company in Tucker, A Man in His Dream? It's, you know, if we sell more cars, we'll make more profit. Yes, if we get more abortions, we'll make more profit. It seems like
Planned Parenthood's whole thing was to like prevent it to even getting to that stage.
Well, Planned Parenthood is also a nonprofit, which means they are not supposed to make profits.
No, but isn't that the majority of, and you know, it's like any organizations, they probably have their difficulties and problems as well. But
for sure,
generally, it's you're offering up information more than anything. Not like the abortion mill that they're being made out to be.
A very small percentage of what Planned Parenthood does is abortion services, and that's by and large because of the roadblocks to the federal and state funding that they get in a lot of places that says you can't use this money for abortion services. So at the end of the day, you know, they have to be. They're walking a very fine line in some of these places that do offer abortion services. Nothing is like there's no quotas. There's certainly no abortion quotas, which, you know, just it seems like that whole Project Veritas boondoggle. I can't remember the guy who runs Project Veritas, but like where they're trying to like make it look like that Planned Parenthood was selling baby parts on the side.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it seems like that was sort of a more inspiration for this Planned Parenthood than anything resembling reality. So long story short, I guess, is if you want to go see the movie, see it. If you want to protest the movie, protest it. It'll be gone this time.
We give it a 1% splat rating, having not seen it on the tomato scale. Can we do that?
I'm glad you mentioned the tomato
scale. The sources scale. What's the tomato scale say? I'm going to say like 15.
It's tomato, yeah. Or on Rotten Tomatoes right now?
86% say they would love it. Of those that saw it. I will say, if anybody out there, if you're going to see this film, let us know. We'd love to talk to you about it and what your opinion is. Either way, sure. Because that's how we roll here. He's madly Googling the splat rating of this film.
I think they just call it tomato rating.
Tomato rating? Oh, no, I'm saying splat because
48%.
48%.
So it does have a 91% audience score, but
is that a splat or is it like a semi-rotten? I guess that's also
it's a green splat.
People that are pro Planned Parenthood probably writing in and reviewing it, having not seen it. I gave it a 1% with not even seeing it. So,
there is 100% rating for Crawl, which is the big alligator movie, which is opening this weekend.
100?
So check that out, maybe.
Wow. You going to do that on the other show?
No, next week we're doing Midsommar, which is another story entirely. We're going to take a break.
I love when the shows cross over. It's like we hit peak of all.
We're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about more disturbing news south of the border. You're listening to, and I almost sound incorrect.
End Sources Open Credits.
Open Sources Guelph. This is what happens when you cross the streams. Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio.
Far be it from me to presume or decide. I just called the meeting, I'm not taking sides. Side of beef, cider, or porter, maybe champagne from the cellar. A waiter will need you again. It's best to be under the influence when deciding our spheres of influence. Scramblings for eggs, not for colonization. So sit, settle down, just relax and be patient. Here is a piece of the pie for you, and here is a piece of the pie for you too. And for you, no pie, after all you came late. Do you ask for a kiss on the very first date? So lodge a complaint, it's a hodgepodge of pay-by numbers, call it whatever you want. Let's focus on finding a final agreement, okay? I'm too tired to think anymore, and I say...
And that was a taste of a band that you might hear at Hillside this weekend, if you're going to Hillside.
Is Hillside this weekend?
Hillside, yeah, something Hillside. That was Burning Hell from their album Baby a few years back, and the song was The Berlin Conference. Of course, this show has to play any song that's called The Berlin Conference.
I don't know if we have to.
We're obligated to. Anyway, if you are coming to Hillside, please stop by the community tent, because I'll be doing a show on Saturday from shameless self-promotion here, but it's for the station. It's for the good of the station. 12 to 2, I'm going to be playing some of Hillside's greatest hits. I'm actually going to be playing bands on the show that will be playing Saturday and probably part of Sunday for everyone to hear, and there may be a couple of interviews in there as well. So if you're there, stop on by and say hello and tell us about your life. No, I don't know. Please.
That was weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the Amber Alert, man. I'm running on
Hillside fumes. Because I can't be outside.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'll be outside for the both of us.
I don't care for the outdoors.
the mosquitoes should be lovely, but anyway.
Yeah. In more serious news, the border issues in the United States along the Mexico border have only seem to have gotten worse. New reports came out, perhaps the most damning one yet, by NBC News. In a Yuma detention facility, which is in Southern California, allegations that a 16-year-old Guatemalan boy said that he and others complained about the taste of the water there, and the Customs and Border Patrol agents took their sleeping mats away, and they had to sleep on the concrete floor. A 15-year-old Honduran girl said that she was given what was called a routine pat-down, which had a large bearded man put his hands inside her bra and pull down her underwear and grope her. So, sexual assault. And then there was another 17-year-old Honduran boy who said that the guards would call him a offensive term in Spanish, him and his friends, whenever they'd get too close to a window because, you know, they're living in big concrete rooms where they are not getting sunlight and where the lights are on all the time and where some of them are not being able to tell the difference anymore between when it's night and when it's day. Very similar to what you experience at a casino. Of course, you can leave a casino anytime you like, and you certainly can if you're one of these migrant children who have been taken into detention.
Yeah, this sounds more like torture than it does any kind of detainment, for sure.
Yes.
It reminded me, I think I made this comparison before, that scene from Children of Men when he's on the train platform and the people are just in the cages ready to be shipped wherever. Mm-hmm. So that's you know, fiction, reflection of reality. But obviously this is no fiction. And of course, some Congress people went down, and AOC, among others. What was she saying about the people drinking out of toilets, locked in the pens? But and you've seen the pictures probably if you look at any news, the tinfoil blankets. And some with no mats, just sort of sleeping, sitting up. And she had said, and I think she's right, that it's a bit of a false notion that we have to choose between certain people, that you know, people are people and you need to take care of them. And the splitting up of families, which they say has ended. There was one, I can't remember where the report was from, saying that the number of children being detained is way down. But I think they meant fresh detentions as opposed to the kids that are already in some sort of custody. So there's this weird, it's not weird. They really need to work on the situation, but I don't think obviously Trump is going to help because this is one of his key, kind of, you know, the wall, et cetera. I don't want to get too much into that. I'm kind of sick of talking about Trump, but, and also this was something else coming out of this. I saw that it was, people have been charged with, I think it was called shielding from authorities. There was a group that put water and food out for people that were at the border, and the water is ceremoniously dumped out, the food take, and then if they find out, or they're pretty sure who put it there, then they too will be charged. This is humanitarian aid people being good people trying to just to help. Because Yuma's Arizona is a desert. So I can't believe most of this, but that in particular is particularly vindictive. It's you're just saying like, no, these people are garbage and we don't want to, the federales just don't want to help.
Well, the message is,
culturally, it's nasty.
The message clearly is that these people are garbage, and the problem is that cruelty is a feature and not a bug. And even during the Obama presidency, there were a lot of accusations against ICE and other people at the border that they were acting in ways that do not reflect well on the United States government. The difference there being is that there was an apparatus in place, there was an administration in place that did not, at the very least, did not like that appearance. I mean, Obama is still the deporter in chief, although many people are willfully ignorant of how many people, you know, Barack Obama put on a bus back to wherever they came from. Yeah. The difference here, of course, is that it, you know, first of all, the chain of command is rusty because, like, really, there's no one in a permanent position. There's no permanent DHS secretary. There's no permanent border customs and immigration person. There's no permanent ICE director. So everyone is a placeholder, so which means they're not developing anything in the way of substantive, ongoing, long-term planning. And then when you get to the bottom people, it's like the Stanford prison experiment happening down there every day. Mm-hmm. You know, when you can get away with being as cruel as you want to people, they'll take the opportunity. It's a case study. It's textbook, actually. No one is telling them that. Well, I mean, aside from some of these Congress people who sort of come in and try to, their best to sort of raise awareness, but nobody in a position to like really hold them to account is exercising that ability. Even Congress, who tried to pass this this border assistance package that would call for, you know, more oversight, more access, more accountability. Eventually, they had to just give it up because it would not get through the Senate. And instead, they had to take the Senate deal, which was basically a $450. That was just going to be thrown at this problem without any assurances that it was going to do anything to help.
Now, it sounds like the people coming to the border, or the people and migrants encountered by Customs and Border Patrol, is down. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that may be because people have heard what's going on there and, you know, maybe they feel they'd be better off if they stay where they are. I think it's something to the tune of 104,000 down from 144,000, give or take. Mm-hmm. And that 144,000 was supposedly a record number of people and that's all at all ports of entry, not just the people walking across the desert. I guess that would that might even include airports for all we know. Mm-hmm. So massive number, but you would think, and I feel I said this before too, but you think that they would be able to get it together, that there are plenty of countries there in the world that have massive, we're going to get into this too, I guess, in the next topic, massive numbers of refugees and people escaping prosecution or economic hardship or various things, climate now, that they'd be able to run a camp of some kind rather than this setup when people are thrown into rooms that are designed for 50 and there's 200 in there.
Yeah.
I mean, the pictures are unbelievable. And of course, somebody, maybe the commander in chief, will say that they are fake news, but he has said this is true fake news. He's like, the ones that he's seen are run beautifully. They're clean. They're good. They're doing a great job. All that stuff, which is absolute rubbish, I'll say. I was going to say something else.
Florida Representative Matt Gaetz, who is well known for being, if not the worst person in Congress, then one of the worst person in Congress, said that it was the worst state of human condition that he has ever seen. Matt Gaetz said that.
Yeah, and that's saying something.
Somebody who threatened, I think it was Comey, to keep him quiet. No, he threatened Michael Cohen for him to, like, the day before he's going to testify to Congress, and that the Florida bar is now invested. Like, this is, even the worst people in Congress are saying, like, this is bad. Not that they're especially moved to act, unfortunately. And then in the meantime, it creates a culture amongst the detainees, and there have been stories about this, where detainees have been afraid to engage with the prison guard. There's a story of a child who had soiled himself and walked around with soiled pants for 10 days because he was afraid to ask the guard for help for clean clothes. There's been stories about kids who can't lay down and go to sleep until somebody moves, and then there's enough room to finally, for them to finally lay down. A kid who was picked up crossing the Colorado River, his clothes are wet, and he's taken to this facility where he's not given dry clothes and has to sleep outside because of overcrowding. It's one horror story after the other. And to add a Canadian connection, the CBC reported that the Ontario Teachers' Pension Fund is heavily invested in Geo Group, which is one of the private prison companies that own some of these facilities. They own a couple. They own a place in California that was reprimanded for having nooses in the cells, having nooses found in the cells for enforcing segregation of detainees and for really inadequate health care provisions. And so, you know what? Our money is in this.
Yeah. I get the feeling that now that that's out, this pension plan's probably going to change a little bit.
Well, CPP was invested in them too, in Geo Group.
They've money.
Pulled out.
It's a moneymaker.
Right. And the Alberta pension plan was also in for $5 million. And the thing that slays you is both these groups signed the UN principles.
Sure.
The UN principles of responsible investing.
Yeah. Well, when you put the free market in charge of jails and people want to invest, but of course this is what you get.
Right.
Less is more. There's probably guards that are making minimum wage. That's pure speculation.
Private prisons, yes. Because it's all on the cheap.
Yeah.
The facilities are cheap. Security is cheap. They pay the guards cheaply. And, these places do encounter problems, too, where it turns out, like, guards are crooked or guards are abusing prisoners.
And yeah, there's, like, 30 separate accounts at that one
right.
you
when,
were talking about.
When you treat life cheaply, this is what happens.
So, yeah, we love you, America, but you really got to get it together on this one.
Yeah.
And that's the final
word. Yeah. That's the final word. We, of course, have issues in our own country, not just investing in America's issues, but a CBC poll came out, one of these election polls, pre-election polls you're going to be seeing a lot of, took the temperature of
polls.
The opinions of Canadians. And this one was about immigration, asking 4,500 people. About 76 some odd said that Canada should encourage only skilled labor to immigrate. 57% said there should be no more refugees coming into Canada, 24% said that there were too many immigrants from visible minority groups right now. So we've got our issues right here.
Yeah, that's the one that really stuck with me, is like, really, 24% think too many immigrants are visible minorities. What does that number say? They're letting too many in, right? They took our jobs, even though it's
not true.
Not absolutely not true. And this is the flaw in this, is that I think it was said in that article that it was the phrase, the way the questions are structured, and it's like there's going to be a number like this that comes out of it.
Right.
But and some of them make sense too, like more skilled labor. 76% more skilled labor kind of implies that there's less skilled labor coming in, or far from it, too, if I understand it right. Like, it's the majority of people that come in. You do need a fairly stringent set of qualifications to come in, not completely. And I guess there's some variety there. But, are we letting – the other one was the refugee number. Like, shouldn't be accepting more refugees. I think in the scheme of things across the world, we don't – we accept a lot, I guess, per capita. But, there are plenty of other countries. I think Turkey has something like 4 million refugees, refugees proper that have come mostly from Syria, I imagine. So I believe our number was something to somewhere in the 300,000 range, right? The people that have claimed asylum we got that wrong. Permanent residency in 2018 was something 321,000. The target, like, just to maintain the realm that we're in and jobs and keep the economy moving, I believe is something like 330,000 or 331,000 for 2019. So we're under the mark.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, we're in a kind of weird position where we kind of have record low unemployment, but we still have an incredibly high number of jobs to fill.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, no one's really stealing jobs since we have more jobs than people.
The greatest myth.
Right. It's just a matter of, do you have the skills to fill a position?
And certain jobs, there's jobs that people don't want that aren't being filled, right? There's
absolutely.
Jobs that people will not do.
Absolutely.
That they used to do. And that's part of it. And they, you know, there are gaps too. You hear it all the time about skill trades. So we need more people in skill trades. So people come from other countries.
I was at the announcement yesterday that the Agricultural Ministers Conference is coming to Guelph in 2020.
Ah.
And the Ontario Agricultural Minister, Ernie Hardman, who seems like a nice guy. I've only met him once, but he seems like a nice guy. He said, like, for every graduate coming out of the OAC here, there are three or four jobs
that
person can take.
As a graduate of the OAC many years ago, I can tell you it was if you wanted a job, mm-hmm. you pretty much got right away. I think our number was something like 96%, which is not unprecedented, but that's like college level,
mm-hmm.
like in terms of people getting employment. And that's across the board from farmers to working for different companies. But anyway,
that covers a gambit. I mean, it also depends on specialized area.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's not so much, you know, jobs for, I don't know, people in wheat something or other. Like, I don't know.
There's plenty of jobs in wheat something or other.
I don't
know
crops, but the point is that, you know, there's more jobs out there for people in the agricultural sector than, say, like people graduating here from the theater program. Fair enough.
Yes, that's very true.
But there's also a problem of access, too. Not everyone's able to afford to come to university. And that is going to become an even bigger problem, given mm-hmm. the actions of Mr. Hardman's government. But getting back to the main thing, it's kind of a myth that they're stealing their jobs. So what are we left with? We're left with this idea that they're a drain on resources, which is another myth.
And that's meme central, right? You see it all the time. It's like, you know, this senior citizen worked all his life, can't get anything. The refugees are coming and taking everything. It's like, it is garbage.
Right.
This is garbage. It is true that there are seniors that don't get access to certain resources, but that isn't because that there are refugees.
Right.
There's structural problems with the system that we know about that need to be addressed that no one is doing. But this whole playing one against the other is just an absolute bogus argument, and it really needs to stop. But it's really easy to do, right? Anybody can type that up and share and share and share and share, and it is garbage. Get it in your head that it is not the real dilemma here.
Right, and there's also the myths about confusing refugees with undocumented migrants.
And the legal-illegal argument.
Right. Well, I'm trying to avoid the use of the word illegal.
No, but that,
I think that it's the people who say, like, no person is illegal. I think there's a valid argument to be made there. So you can say undocumented migrant. But a refugee is not someone who is coming into the country illegally. They are making a legal claim. You are allowed to come into a country, find the nearest authority figure, and say, I would like to claim asylum. I am a refugee. Then there's a whole process that has to go underway. But the practice of coming in somewhere and claiming a refugee status is not itself illegal.
But that all gets blended together for the sake of simplicity. And you see it all the time. At least I see it all the time. That the clip of the footage where there's that one spot on the border, I think it's in Quebec, where people are just sort of walking up and walking across. And
it gives the illusion.
Yeah, exactly. this continuous line of people just crossing over. And it's not remotely, it's accurate to some degree that there are spots because we have the largest, longest undefended border in the world, that it's really easy to walk into Canada. But you have to remember, there was people that were doing that. Do you remember those two guys? It was like the middle of the night, -50 out in the prairie somewhere, and they lost their hands and
their feet. Yeah,
yeah. You have to be a really desperate individual to do that, and maybe not knowing, depending where you're from, that that could happen. But do you honestly think somebody is doing that because they want to come and like steal resources from us? They're doing it because they're desperate, and it's our job to
It also shows their lack of education, because they could always walk up, rock straight up to a border crossing and say, I'd like to claim refugee status, and then...
Rather than trying to sneak.
Rather than walking across an open field.
We don't have the wall. Well, not yet, anyway.
Like, instead of walking across an open field from Minnesota to Manitoba in the dead of night when it's minus 50 degrees without adequate protection because you're from Somalia originally and you don't know what winter looks like in the Midwest. So,
and that's obviously not everybody, but it's
the desperation thing is the key too, because people forget, like, you're a refugee. You did not. Chances are you didn't leave your home willingly, and I mean, there's a lot of that in the south of the border, because at Mexico border right away, right now, because a lot of people want to still think these are economic migrants and steal our jobs, which we've already disproven. But what's happening right now is that you have people fleeing terrible conditions in Honduras and Guatemala, where gangs are running rampant, where there's lawlessness, where there's joblessness, where there's like incredible poverty. And it's like packing everything you can from your life into a bag, taking your child, and making a 1,000-mile trek to another country.
Just to milk the system.
Just to make your life, like, come on, son, we're going to rip off America? Come on.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And one stat I saw said that, I mean, the amount of refugees in the world right now is the highest it's ever been, higher than World War II, which was the last sort of significant, slice in time, I guess, where people were going all over the place, quite a few of whom ended up here. But yeah, I think a lot of the people that are arguing against this need to remember their Bible stories, particularly Exodus. And of course, you know, some will argue that Jesus wasn't a refugee, but, you know, the story sort of, the story is there that he had to get out of Nazareth. This is how we this is how long it's been sub in the field. And maybe it's not fair to make the biblical comparison, but it seems like a lot of the people that are like against this, there's a bit of a religious edge there.
Completely fair to make a religious comparison, because a lot of these people, like Faith Goldie, claim to be super religious, but are also deeply concerned about being replaced. This idea that they're taking
everything. And also, too, I challenge anyone, please look at the crime report and tell me if you see anybody on there that's a refugee or even immigrant in this town in particular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is completely false.
Mm-hmm.
To the point of it is the I don't even think there is a measurable percentage here in Guelph in terms of crime, and let's say new Canadians, although I think that term's falling out of favor, but it's not true. Don't believe the non-hype.
Mm-hmm. It's just concerning because, you know, even the Liberal government has made, which came into power on this wave of like, we're going to welcome newcomers, we're going to welcome like a million Syrian refugees off the bat, have now gone to the point where they have to tiptoe around it because they're going to awaken the surprising small majority of people who are deeply concerned about
immigration. The 57%,
And
this, what was it, 4,500 people?
Instead of just like sort of tackling this with the facts, with the statistics, which all point to to a reality that is very different than whatever the visceral feelings of a lot of people who are anti-immigrant are. It's going to be one of those things that it's going to be tricky talking about this because it's such a third rail.
Do your family tree, Canadians. You'll find immigrants. They're there. In fact, unless you're indigenous, every single one of you, and I mean everyone, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that.
And remember that you can find us on opensourcesguelph.com, and you can find us on Facebook at Open Sources Newswire and on Twitter at OS_Guelph. And also remember that if you'd like to listen to this show again, you can download it from our website every Monday at the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean or through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Adam A. Donaldson, or go to my news site at guelphpolitico.ca.
Scotty Hertz on Facebook, Scotty Hertz on Twitter, if it's working. And I blog at spannerbook.wordpress.com.
And we have a rerun of Sounds Good to Me coming up at the top of the hour here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. We will, of course, be back next Thursday for more open sources at 5 p.m., and we will see you then.